We're going to continue our series on possessing your soul. So you see, right now I'm bringing my mind, will, and emotions. I'm practicing what I preach into alignment for the glory of God to share the message that He's given me this morning. And so since it's fresh off the press, it must also be from Micah, because he knew he was going to be here this morning. Is that right? Nobody said amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. So you should have a message outline. And we're going to get started. And some of the things that come on the that I'm going to share is not going to be in your message outline. And so this morning when I woke up, the Lord gave me 12 steps to learning to possess your soul. And so I wrote that all down, and Jay's supposed to make some copies of that so everyone here can take home a copy. Because we're learning how to possess our souls. Impatience, possessing your soul. You can gain the whole world, but if you lose your soul, it profits you nothing. You know, your soul has such a value. There's a value. It's a treasure. And so this morning, we're going to take a look first at 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And let's read it together. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. That's from the Amplified Version. And so this morning, we know that God wants us to prosper. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to prosper. This was written to Gaius, and he was, I believe, ill at the time. And he was being encouraged that not only did they want him to, his soul to prosper, that he would continue to grow and mature in Christ as a disciple, but they wanted him to be in good health. And that's what we want for one another. Amen? So to prosper is to, the Greek word for prosper is to help on the road. It's to succeed in reaching. It's to succeed in business affairs. It's to have a prosperous journey. And we've talked over and over, we're on this journey here in the earth. And our soul is growing, we're maturing, and that's all a journey that we're on. Prosper in the dictionary is to be successful or fortunate, especially in financial respects, to thrive and to flourish. So there's no doubt that God wants us to prosper. Is that right? You know, sometimes we have this mentality that God wants us to live in lack and just to be poor and not to have anything in this world. You see, there isn't anything wrong with having things in this world. What makes it wrong is when that's what you're craving. You know, so God's very clear in His Word that we're going to prosper when we put Him first. We'll prosper when we seek the kingdom first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God at all these things. We like things. How many people like things? Hallelujah. We like things. And so God will add them to us if we keep the first things first. So we're going to take a look at Psalm 85. And you might write this down, verses 1 through 13. They're not in your notes, but Aaron was going to put that up there for me. And I believe we have the New King's Translation, correct? So we are going to read through this. This is a declaration that I'm speaking over you as we go this morning. And, you know, this is an important time in our land. It's an important season that the people of God are in. You know, we just entered Lent. You know, when I was in the airport, there were lots of people with ashes on their foreheads. Because Ash Wednesday started, began that 40 days up until Resurrection Sunday. And so, it's an important season. A lot of people, fast something, they give up something during Lent. Anybody decide to give up something during Lent this year? Yes. So there are people who choose to give up something during Lent just as a reminder of what Jesus gave up for us. His sacrifice for us. And so it's an important time. It's an important time in our world, with the coronavirus, you know, and all the concerns about the coronavirus. And some people are in panic and anxiety over the coronavirus. Well, a friend of mine about a month ago, 2 months ago, she had called me and she said, you know, the Lord really impressed in my heart that I'm to begin to pray Psalm 91 over myself and just begin to declare that over my family. And she says, I'm not real sure why he's putting that in my heart, but I've got that. And so that's what I'm going to do. That's my assignment for until God tells me otherwise. And then a few weeks later, she was talking to her brother who works for a big Fortune 500 company. And he was saying, his company has like 400 employees in China and they were moving them out very quickly. And she said, well, why are they doing that? Because she hadn't been on any news program. She hadn't heard anything about the coronavirus. And he began to explain to her what was going on in China. And then she began to understand why God gave her that. So it would be good for all of us to be praying that over ourselves. Psalm 91. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any shot you can take or any medicine you can take. The word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to cut away viruses, infection. It's able to cut away accidents. It's God's word is powerful. And so we're in the decade of the pay. P-E-Y is the word. And in the Jewish tradition, it means the mouth. We're in the decade of the mouth. What you speak is very important. And this is what we're going to talk about this morning as we're learning to possess our soul. And if you'd like to read this with me. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. Selah. Now let's think about that. God, you have been favorable to your land. You know, God owns all the earth, right? The land is His. And when God's people come into alignment with the will of God, it's the land that gets blessed. If the land's not blessed, we're not going to be blessed. And God graciously has forgiven our sins. God has forgiven you. Let's go on. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Let's go on. Restore us, O God of our salvation. And cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Let's stop there for just a second. The word restore means to turn around. Lord, turn us around. Restore us. Sometimes we have to command our souls to turn around. Our souls will look backwards. Did you know that? Many times in counseling, I'll be ministering to someone and I'll realize they are looking back and not in the present. When you keep rehearsing all of your hurts and wounds and trauma, you're constantly looking back. Do you remember we did an activation a couple weeks ago? And you can't move forward if you're holding on to this, looking back. And so Of course, we need the help of God, because God is the only one that can help us turn our souls around. But we have to say, Lord, restore us. Turn my soul around from this situation so that I am seeing what you want me to see instead of living back here in all of the hurt and the pain and the agony. You see, the enemy wants to keep you there. God wants to bring you here to the present so that you can realize the promises that he has for you. God's got promises for us. He turns us around so that we can go forward. Verse 6. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? One more. Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us salvation. That word revive in the Hebrew is, it's chaya. Chaya, you know, sounds like something's happening when you say that word revive. And it means to restore to life or health, to keep alive, to nourish, to repair, to be made whole, to persevere, to recover, to live prosperously, to bring out a sickness, discouragement, out of death. He wants to do that for you, and he wants to do that for your family. He wants to do that for your businesses. He wants to do that for our region. God wants to do that for our nation. Amen. He's here to revive us. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. So the scripture says he will speak peace. Speak peace in the Hebrew is dubar shalom. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him. When we think about speaking peace, hallelujah, the peace of God that passes understanding. You see, God is a God who speaks and something creative happens. Is that right? He spoke and the worlds were framed. So this is the decade of the pay. What are we speaking into our situation? Are we speaking what God says so that we have the peace of God? I will hear what God the Lord will speak. This is a time we've got to get in a place and position ourselves to hear what God is saying. What is he saying to you? What has he been saying every day? You know, sometimes God has to keep repeating himself. Are you listening? I will hear. Will you intently hear what the Lord is speaking to you? For he will speak peace. Amen. You know, in the midst of a troubling situation, in the midst of emotions, in the midst of trials, sometimes it's difficult to hear the Lord speak. But the scripture says he will speak and he will speak peace. Let's go on and read. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in land. See, this is our land right here. We're earth, right? So we can say, this is our land. So just put your hand on your heart and say, let the glory of God dwell in my land. Let's read on to the next one. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Next one. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. One more. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Say, my land will yield its increase.
My land will yield its increase.
I think there's one more verse. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. So we listen and we hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I will listen intently to what the Lord is saying. Did you notice that the way Jesus, he said, I only do what my Father, what I see my Father do, and I only say what my Father says, right? Well, when he made, when he prayed for people, he didn't pray long prayers. Did you notice that? And Apostle Leonard has said this for years. Jesus didn't pray long prayers. We don't have to pray all these long prayers. We pray these long prayers for ourselves. And so in this time, God is calling us to hear what he is saying and to declare and to decree the word of the Lord like Jesus did. He heard what his Father told him, and then he prayed. He said, rise. Rise up. Take your bed. Walk. It wasn't a long prayer. And he told the woman, stretch out your hand. Yes, what do you see when he prayed for the blind man? When he went to pray for Lazarus, he just said a short prayer to the Father. He said, Father, I'm praying for this person so that you'll be glorified. And then he made a decree. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Yes, and he had been dead 4 days, which was his body had already begun to decay. So what I'm saying, especially to the supernatural team, listen up, because we have to learn to shift out of a position of praying and crying out. We pray and we cry out, that's good. But when it comes time to pray for people, this is the decade of the pay. It is the words of our mouth speaking something forth. The scripture says we will decree a thing and it will be established. So a shift is taking place to give us a deeper understanding and revelation of the word of God. We debar. We speak with authority that Jesus has given to us. Be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So hearing from heaven and decreeing what God is saying, this is what we are to do as the people of God, as the church of God, as we pray for one another. It is about praying specifically and decreeing over people what God is saying. Hallelujah. When we speak peace, Dubar Shalom, that word peace means wholeness, completeness, prosperity. It means to have favor. It literally has the connotation that there's nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing damaged. So peace is established when what has been stolen is returned back to the person. Peace. Jesus taught about decreeing in Matthew when he said that you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. if you have faith and do not doubt, that mountain will be removed. It will be done. And then he said, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. So there's a shift taking place in our thinking. We're renewing our mind. As we renew our mind, we possess our soul. And instead of getting upset and anxious, we can go to the Word of God to find out what is the remedy. God never left us without a remedy. No matter what's going on in your life, we know God can supply. Whether it's financial, whether it is your health, whether it concerns your business, whether it concerns a child, your husband, your wife, there is a scripture and the Word of God that can be spoken out and established. You see, God's Word performs what it is sent out to do. So we have to speak God's Word and send it out. We send out a lot of emotions, a lot of crying, but that's not going to change anything. It helps us get, to release all of that. But at the same time, we're releasing all of that, and the Lord is speaking peace to us because He wants us whole. He wants us to prosper in everything that we do, regardless of our situation, regardless of where we live. God can bring prosperity. There is no lack in God. So now we're going to jump to the scriptures that in Job. And this is what I was originally wrote down. So this is counsel to Job. How many of you know the story of Job? You've heard the story of Job? So you know the situation that he was in? He had a friend that accused him and misjudged him. Have you ever had a friend that accused you and misjudged you? Just a few. Job was in that same situation. The same friend shared this counsel with him. This is good counsel. It wasn't the place Job was at, but it's good counsel. It's good for us to hear. But have you ever had someone share counsel with you and you're like thinking that doesn't even relate to what is really going on? His friend meant well, okay? And what he said is really good. And I found some steps in the midst of this counsel for Job that we can apply to our hearts. You see, his friend assumed that he was prideful and that's why he was in the situation he was in. But Job wasn't prideful. But you know what? Job listened. And God took care of all of it. But we'll get there in a minute. So let's read this first verse. It says, acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. By that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. Receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. So I don't know if Jay has copied these yet, but the first thing, you'll get this list. The first thing God spoke to me was to possess your soul is you have to have a personal relationship with God. Amen. Oh, you have them? Okay, so you can go ahead and hand them out and then they can follow them and add notes to them if they would like. Deacon Jerome and Pastor Cheryl have them. And Chris. So I'm going to keep talking while this is going on. We have to have a personal relationship with God. And when we do, he'll give us peace. And when we do, goodwill will come to us. and we will prosper. That's what the word says, and the word is true, right? Amen. And that is good counsel. Acquaint yourself with him. Agree with God. You know, we can argue with God. Anybody ever argue with God? This is not what I was planning on. This is not what I was hoping for. This did not go my way. But when we agree with God and we conform to his will, you know, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and get yourself in alignment with God. Number one, have a personal relationship with God. Number two, receive what the Lord is speaking to you. You see, receive, I pray you, the law and instruction from his mouth. This is the decade of the pay. This is a time that God is giving us greater clarity to what he is saying. He's giving us a greater ability to communicate what he is saying. Receive in the Hebrew means to accept, to place, reserve, seize, take, use, win. So when we receive his instructions, when we receive his strategies concerning our situation, when we take a hold of them, when we begin to repeat them, when we begin to decree them, the scripture says you will win. Job 22:23 and 24. I think I put the two together. Okay, let's read that. If you return to the Almighty and submit and humble yourself before him, you will be built up. If you put away unrighteousness far from your tents, if you lay gold in the dust, and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brook, considering them of little worth. Okay, the third thing the Lord spoke to me was return to the Lord God Almighty. You know, this is something that happens continually. We return ourselves to God. It's more than turning towards him. Okay, with good inclinations. But it is to return to him, to return home to him. It's like going back to home base. It's an effectual, thorough change in your heart and the way you live your life. Return to the Lord. If you start getting off the path, return to the Lord before you get too far down the road. Amen? Because we can do that. You know, it's like one sin, and then it's easier to sin again. And then it's easy to do it again, and to do it again to the point that our conscience isn't even affected by it anymore. Because we've done it so many times. The Holy Spirit will convict you. Anyone ever felt that conviction of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, he will convict you. And that's when we return to the Lord. And we make a commitment to hold on to him. We got to hold on to him. Because it's through his strength that we're stabilized. Strength will arise when we wait on the Lord. Amen? I'm sure you can think of situations where you had to wait, but your strength came. It'll come. The fourth thing was put away unrighteousness. Just put it away. The further, the better. Far from your tents. So far from your houses, you know. Get rid of the unrighteousness. We have a responsibility to reprove and to restrain sin in those that are under our charge. Get sin out of your house. Take out the idols, clean out the leaven. And the fifth thing is realign your desire for wealth with the Word of God. if you lay gold in the dust among the stones of the brook, you're considering it of little worth. Let's go on and read the next verses, and you'll see why God tells us to do that. And make the Almighty your gold, and the Lord your precious silver treasure. Then you will have delight in the Almighty, and you will lift up your face to God. So number six is make the Almighty God your most valuable treasure. Keeping our priorities aligned with the Lord. Let's do Job 22:27-28. You will make your prayer to him, and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, for the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. I looked this up in the message, and it says, you'll decide what you want, and it will happen. Your life will be bathed in light. Remember, one of our very first lessons was on the book of Genesis when God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And we see throughout that chapter that God decreed things and they came to pass. And we're made in his image, we're made in his likeness, and the word says in Job, you will decree a thing and it shall be established for you. So we have this creative power on the inside of us waiting to be released. It's there. Tell your neighbor it's there. Power waiting on you to decree a thing so that it can be established. So the question would be, what have you been decreeing? Have you been decreeing according to your circumstances or according to God's word? See, most of the time we rehearse the problem and we talk about how bad the situation is. And we say things over our life that actually cause the power of these words to continue to drive that negative situation. Jadis talked about it when he was up here. That negativity absolutely drains your strength. When you're around a person that's constantly talking negative and against everything, it does not take long that you just want to get out of that room. Is that right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You just want to go. Or you want them to go. Leave. The scripture says in Psalm 119:89 that God's word is already settled in the heavens. So if God's word is already settled in the heavens, when we begin to release God's word and decree God's word over our situation, then we're connecting heaven to earth and we're calling his word down into the earth realm to begin to work on our behalf. You see, people give up because you don't do it just one time. Wouldn't it be nice if you just had to do it one time? That would be so easy. So the seventh point on your sheet there is pray in faith, believing that God hears you, and pay your vows. We pray in faith. If you have faith and do not doubt, and believe God hears you and pay your vows. Keep your promises. A vow is a promise. It's better not to make a vow if you're not going to keep it. So keep your vows to the Lord. The eighth thing is you decide and decree what will be established for you. And that isn't New Age teaching. That is biblical teaching. When we're saying what God is saying to us, then we begin to see the word work. 9, when you decree God's word, it becomes a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Is that not what the scripture says? God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see, in the midst of everything that's going on, we're often walking in what it feels like darkness all around us. But God's word brings light into that dark situation. And when God's word releases the light, that is the life of God, and you begin to see things change. The enemy won't stay in the light. Is that right? And often things are revealed to us that we are shocked at. But when the light is turned on, praise God, now you know. That person isn't who you thought they were. Maybe you were getting ready to make a business deal with them, and God turned the light on. So you could probably make some money with that business deal, but you'd probably lose more than what you'd make because things would go sour. So we decree God's word. It becomes a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, and we know which way to go. There is something about knowing which way to go and what decision to make that releases a peace, a peace that you just can't even explain. And for me, it also releases a determination. It's like, this is the direction I'm going. I know I heard Jesus. I know I heard the Lord. It's that confidence that we get. 10, let's look at that. When you decree his will into the earth realm, you connect heaven to earth and establish his kingdom in your life and the life of those around you. You are able to bring the kingdom of God wherever you're at. Whether it's you own the business or not, it doesn't matter. You're in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom goes with you. And wherever you are, it's your training ground. Is that right? We are soldiers in training. God uses every situation to teach us and to strengthen us and to prosper us. Conflict is an opportunity to grow. Don't run from conflict. It's an opportunity to grow. Number 11, God's favor surrounds you like a shield. Psalm 5:12, this is a great declaration. It says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield." So Heavenly Father, we decree and we declare, O Lord, that you bless the righteous. According to your word, Lord, we thank you, God, that your blessing is upon the righteous. And Lord, we thank you that and decree, O God, that your favor is surrounding us like a shield. God, as we walk about in this earth, Lord, as we walk about this week, Lord, we thank you that the favor of God shields us. We thank you, Lord, that you surround us, O God, with your favor. Thank you, Lord. So thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established. And I could teach another hour on that, but we're going to keep going here. Let's go to Job 22, 29. There we go. When they make you low, you will say, there is a lifting up, and a humble person he lifts up and saves. He will even deliver the one for whom you intercede, who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. The 12th point is remain humble when people accuse you falsely or when they exalt you. God will lift you up and save you, and those that you pray for. He will deliver them because of your pure heart. From a quote from Maurer, who is a commentary writer, he says, rather on Job 22:28, he says, rather when thy ways are cast down for time, thou shalt soon again have joyful cause to say, there is lifting up and prosperity returns back to me. And this last verse is where God absolutely turns this full circle, because Job's friend was giving him good counsel but was wrongly accusing him. And God was not very pleased with him. And later on in chapter 42, you find that this man is delivered because Job prayed for him. And Job was delivered because he prayed for his friends. So even though he was falsely accused, Job prayed for him. And God delivered him and did not release his wrath upon him. And I believe there is a lot there for us to take in and to apply to the maturing of our soul, of our mind, will, and emotions, and the importance of remaining humble before the Lord. Getting positioned correctly so we can hear his voice. So that we can say what the Father is saying. So that we can see our situations change. And God to show up. We need God to show up. The world needs God to show up. Your neighbor needs God to show up. Everyone is facing something. But we have hope that Jesus Christ is the answer. Because God will deliver us. And to deliver means to escape, to release, or rescue, to bring forth. God is a God that delivers us out of the hand of the enemy. We're not going to be defeated. The only time we can be defeated is if we will give in ourselves. We had a situation when we first started the church. There was a person that was on our staff, and we had no idea of his second life. But we found out that he had an affair with someone sitting in the congregation. And it was interesting because he kept telling me that this woman's husband was really upset with me because she was coming to church more than he thought she should and wasn't paying enough attention to him. And he told me that someday this guy was going to show up at the church and that I better really watch myself. And so he was trying to put fear in me to cover up what he was doing so that if her husband did show up, then, you know, security would be ready to usher him or keep him from coming into the main service. But something never sat right in my spirit with that, because she had a free will to decide whether or not she was coming to church, you know. And we don't twist anybody's arm to come, okay? We don't come get you and handcuff you and drag you to church, you know. And so it was so odd. And I remember the day that he walked in to the auditorium, and the man was big. He was a construction worker. He worked with cement. And for those of you that were downtown at the theater, his shoulders, like he had to kind of squeeze through that door because he was so big. And I saw this man that had told me all this stuff. I mean, he turned white as a ghost, and he was really sweating it. But anyway, to make a long story short, he got out of there real quick before the guy could get to him. And the guy was very kind to me. So someone had said to us, this is the first year of your ministry, this situation is going to absolutely destroy you. And I said, oh, no, it's not. I'm not responsible for what he did. And number two, what would destroy us is how we handle it. You know, my responsibility was how, and our team, how are we going to handle it? Well, our heart was to restore him. But you know, when a person does that, they got to be removed from ministry. I don't believe in letting them get back up in 2 weeks and start preaching again. And there are people around here that believe that. No, there is a restoration time. And there is to make sure the soul and everything is intact where it should be and strong once again. If you really love a brother, you won't turn him loose to be a target of the enemy, because the enemy will prey on your weaknesses. And so the scripture has specific standards for those who minister and stand before the people. And there's a reason for that. But here we are, it's 25 years later. And God is still on the throne. God is still blessing the river of life. And everyone connected with us, God is still with us and teaching us. And we're learning and we're growing. And we are going to learn how to decree a thing so that it is established. And so think about some difficult situations that you're in or something that you're going through, and begin to write out some scriptures that go with that and some decrees that you can decree every morning. I know there are several of you that already do that, but for those of you who have not done that, I encourage you, get in the Word and begin to release the Word of God over your situation. Sometimes people say, well, that just sounds too simple. They think they have to do something more. Well, if there's something more to do, God's going to let you know. Right? Because you know what? God is for us. We don't have to earn His love. He is for us. He wants to help us. We are His children. And He wants us to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. And the only way the devil is defeated is through the Word and the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's all stand this morning, and I'm going to ask if praise team will come up. And we're going to sing. And I encourage you, if you are here this morning and you have something going on in your body that you need prayer for, or you have a situation going on, let's believe in faith together that today there is a turnaround, that today things are going to change, that there's nothing too difficult with God, that He's a God of the impossible. You know, if we just put our faith together, you know, and resist the enemy, he has got to flee. He has got to go out of your life and out of your situation. And so we are going to sing this morning.